If you have your Bibles, if you want to follow along, I'm going to read most of Leviticus 9 with you right now. And let me give you just a little bit of the framing out here. We pick this up at the point where Moses hands off the priesthood to Aaron and his sons, the beginning of the Levitical line of priests. If you remember last week, we made the point that we can learn some things from this whole priesthood from Leviticus, in that when we come to Christ, God calls us to be a kingdom of priests, every single one of us. So in light of that, let me just read this for you. It says, on the eighth day, Moses summoned Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. He said to Aaron, take a bull calf for your sin offering and a ram for your burnt offering, both without defect, and present them before the Lord. Then he said to the Israelites, take a male goat, a sin offering, a calf and a lamb, both a year old, without defect, for a burnt offering, and an ox and a ram and a fellowship offering to sacrifice before the Lord, together with a grain offering or a fellowship offering mixed with olive oil. For today the Lord will what? Appear to you. That's crucial, okay? They took the things that Moses commanded to the front of the tent of meeting, and the entire assembly came near and stood before the Lord. Then Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded you to do, so that, what's the phrase? The glory of the Lord may what? Appear to you. Moses said to Aaron, come to the altar, and sacrifice your sin offering and your burnt offering, make atonement for yourselves and the people, sacrifice the offering that is for the people, and make atonement for them as the Lord has what? Commanded. Okay? So Aaron came up to the altar and slaughtered the calf as a sin offering for himself. His sons brought the blood to him, and he dipped his finger into the blood and put it on the horns of the altar, and the rest of the blood he poured at the base of the altar. And on the altar, he burnt the kidneys. And I'm going to stop there for a second, okay? I'm going to pick it up a little bit later near the end of the passage, but you can read the rest on your own. What this does is now Aaron and his sons are now going through the sacrifices to serve God and serve the people. Remember last week we talked about our role as being a part of the kingdom of priests is to serve God and serve the people, correct? Okay? Using our time, our talent, our gifts, and so on and so forth. I want to ask a question this morning. And the question is very important. Do you want to see the glory of God? Do you want to see it? Okay? Listen, there's a lot to that question. It's not just saying yes. There's a lot to that question. I want you to notice what the priests needed to do here in order to realize the promise of seeing the glory of God. One of the major mistakes that you and I can make in approaching God is approaching him with an irreverent attitude. Isn't that true? So, tell me some ways that we can approach him with an irreverent attitude.
Being preoccupied with other things.
Being preoccupied with other things. How else? I'm sorry? Irreverent. Prayerlessly. If we come prayerlessly, not prepared in some way. What other ways? Who said that? Very good. Demanding. Sometimes we treat God as Santa Claus, if we're honest with ourselves, right? What other irreverent attitudes? Lackadaisical, complacency, unconfessed sin, complaining. We're masters at that, aren't we? At complaining. Barbara? Squeezing him between. In other words, if I don't want to put words in your mouth, Barbara, but tell me if this is your thought. What we do is generally give God the leftovers instead of the first fruits. Well, God, if I have time, I'll go to church. Well, God, if I have time, I'll serve at Lacey Day. God, if I have time. You know how that goes, okay? I don't want to miss anybody. Anywhere else? Lack of humility. Thank you. Lack of humility.
The funny thing about humility is if you think you have it, you ain't got it. Lack of humility comes from a relationship with God, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. So I want you to notice this. We touched on it as we talked about this thing. First, God is not an entertainer who needs to entertain us. Shall I say that again? He is not an entertainer who needs to entertain us. Remember I told you a long time ago, and I reiterate it because it's so crucial, we tend to catch our culture like we catch a cold. We don't even realize it. We are so used to being entertained that sometimes when we come to class, when we come to church, we want to be entertained. God is not an entertainer. He's not here to entertain us. He's here to be worshiped. He's not an old man sitting in a rocking chair upstairs. He's the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is not obligated to do what we want him to do. Anybody have a problem with that? He's not obligated to do what we want him to do. He will always do with what's in his character and his will. Isn't that true? Okay. He is not a game show host playing Let's Make a Deal. Let's be honest. Have any of us ever tried making deals with God? And, you know, we say, how many times have we said, God, I'm in a jam. If you get me out of this, I'll go to church. God, I'm in a jam. If you get me out of this, I'll read the word. God, I mean, how about we come in and say, hey, God, I love you. I screwed up. Lord, I confess that to you. I need your help. Isn't that much different than coming to say, hey, Lord, let's make a deal here. You get me out of this. There's something good in it for you. Maybe we should say, Lord, I'm coming to you because I know in coming to you, there's something good in it for me. Help me, Lord. Leviticus 9 shows us that if we desire to reveal God's glory and have God reveal his glory, you and I must approach him with an attitude of reverence and fear. I say fear? Well, yeah, not to be afraid, but with a reverential fear. Well, what does that mean? We're going to unpack that in a moment. The bottom line is that God reveals his glory when we are lovingly obedient to him. Want me to underline that? God will reveal his glory to you and me when we are lovingly obedient. Not ritualistic, not legalistic, but when we are lovingly obedient to him. When we fall deeper in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, when we obey him because we know it pleases him and it's good for us, when we obey him in everything, every area of our lives, and then we will bring glory to God as a result. I believe God will reveal his glory to us, even while we're still here. Even while we're still here. Leviticus 9 shows us that loving obedience is necessary if we want to see his glory.